Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran this morning here on 720 WGN. Steve will be back tomorrow for a big opening day broadcast for the Chicago White Sox. I'll be in this chair again. Steve and Andrea and Dave Bennett will all be at Guaranteed Rate Field. We're doing a great broadcast, our opening day celebration, which is throughout the entire day. Let's make sure they play this game tomorrow. That'll be the issue. But yeah, plenty to do here. Be back tomorrow, but in the chair today for Steve, who's off. Well, of course, today, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in Memphis. Last night, huge celebration or celebrations of the impact and the life of Dr. King, as well as today. So many people there. Doma Tipongo for WGN has put together some great pieces, as well as a piece today in the Chicago Sun-Times. Great stuff. Check it out on our website, WGNradio.com, or at the Sun-Times today. Joining us on the line now, talk about King's impact, but also his impact here in the city of Chicago, Hermine Hartman. Hermine, of course, the founder of Indigo Magazine and a longtime Chicago civil rights leader. Hermine, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for being here.
Snowy day in April.
Yeah, I know, right? Also on the line with us, Reverend Dr. Al Sampson. He's the pastor at Fernwood United Methodist Church in Chicago, but also the former housing director for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the only member of the SCLC to be personally ordained by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. himself in 1966. Reverend Sampson, an honor to have you on the program. Appreciate you being here.
Yes. God bless, and good morning to you and Sister Hermine Hartman and the WGN family.
Let's start with you, Hermine. What is this? I mean, this day, of course, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King. What's it mean to you today?
Well, it's 50 years that we mourn a great life, a minister, a Southern Baptist minister that changed America by challenging the country to live up to its creed as to what has been written in Constitution and Preamble and Declaration of Independence. He challenged this country to be all that, to be all that it said it could and should be. And he did it with nonviolence. He did it with persistence. He did it with moral authority. He did it with a minister's voice. One of the things that is absolutely amazing about Dr. King, he was so young. He was just so young. We look at the kids marching today and we say, oh, where will they go? They're youth. Well, the civil rights movement was a youth movement, right, including its leader. That's number one. And number two, Dr. King was not an elected official. Not one vote, but he did more than some presidents have done. And his career was short-lived. It was only 13 years. And what a difference he made.
I'll ask you the same question, Reverend Sampson, being, you know, and we'll get into your role as a housing director for the SCLC as well. But today, as there's so much reflection and memories and celebration of the life of Dr. King, what does this day mean to you?
Well, it means a day of reflection, a day of watching how one man's idea of having the power as a black man in America to touch the lives of people, not based on the color of their skin, but based on the content of their character, from children to the elderly. Because of Dr. King, people have now recognized that there was a man who came like Mahatma Gandhi in India, like Nelson Mandela in South Africa. And I'll always remember the power of the things that we did in the street ended up inside the very DNA of a whole lot of folk all over the world. And I think that's a great impact when we didn't realize when we did what we did, the sacrifices that we made after his his untimely death. How in this technological age, access to him and his thoughts and his memories and his legacy becomes a part of our library of opportunity and experiences.
Well, Chicago plays a tremendous role in the life and work of Dr. King, not just, of course, what happened after his assassination, but what happened in 1966 with the Chicago Freedom Movement, and both of you were involved. But, Hermine, I want to start with you because you grew up in Chicago, and King was famous for saying that, you know, Chicago was worse than Mississippi when he was here after marching and recognizing that some of the issues that were in the South were worse in the North. Talk about what you remember about Dr. King being in Chicago, being a Chicagoan.
Well, I was in school. I was still in high school, and I wanted to march so bad, but my mother thought it would be dangerous and would not allow it to happen. She wouldn't allow me to go. But indeed, we were watching it very, very closely on television. I thought the South was another country as I watched things happen as a child in school. I thought the South was just another place. My mother would say, no, it's not. It's because people are black. My father would say, oh, yes, it is. That's why we're not there, or something smart like that. But in Chicago, you saw the unpeeling of another kind of racism, a very ingrained, in-depth racism in Chicago that I'm not so sure that everybody knew existed. As we know, as it is still today, Chicago is the most segregated country in America, segregated city in America. But people just go their separate ways. You go to your Bridgeport, you go to your Inglewood, you go to Hyde Park, you go to wherever you go, and that's just a comfort of our lives. It's just our culture. But Dr. King saw something different. He saw the segregation. He saw the injustices. When Dr. King came here, as Al can explain probably better than I, you saw the schools, you saw the Willis wagons, you saw contract buying on the West Side, you saw blacks unable to buy housing anywhere in spite of what their income levels might have been. So you indeed saw the racism. And so what Dr. King did in his move here is he challenged again the racism. Now, the result of what he did, as he did change open housing, as he did change our school system, but the real result was he also changed our politics. That was the beginning of an independent
and
politics.
As you mentioned, you had a piece today in Indigo just about a lot of that centered around the politics of the Democratic machine, especially here in Chicago, and the former mayor, Richard J. Daley. Not an easy task to get into a public dispute with the mayor of Chicago at that time.
Not easy to get in a dispute with the mayor, but also there were six aldermen. They were called the Silent Six. Six black aldermen who also resisted King. There were the ministers, where Dr. King's pulpit was always welcomed into the churches. And those ministers, many of the big ministers resisted Dr. King. There were only a few churches that he could go into. One was Clay Evans' Fellowship. The other was Pilgrim on King Drive. And so his voice was trying to be limited. And they were really saying, go back home. We don't need you here. We don't have those issues here. And Dr. King was saying, oh, yes, you do. Let and me. As you know, you had marches. One of the biggest marches we've ever had was at Soldiers Field. And so he conquered Daley. And depending on how you look at it, short term, long term, but in the long term, he indeed conquered Daley and changed the politics of Chicago.
Let me bring in Reverend Sampson. Being the former housing director for the SCLC, you had a big role in Chicago Freedom Movement in 1966, but also just knowing Chicago and bringing housing options to the African American community here in Chicago. What Hermine was talking about, is that resonate with you, this idea of what Chicago was like in the 60s when King came here and brought the message that we were seeing on television sets and radio stations in the South to Chicago in the North?
Yes, and most people don't realize that Dr. King coming out of Atlanta, what they call L.A., lovely Atlanta, there was a man named Q.V. Williamson who had a black real estate office along with an organization in Atlanta. Jet Magazine picked it up as Peyton Place. And when he got to Chicago and realized that black folk in the lovely Mecca of Chicago, with all of its business capabilities and opportunities and institutions, but they couldn't go past 63rd Street. Well, we looked at Robert's Motel at that time and realized that we were living in and staying in segregated housing. And so I lived with Dr. King on the west side of Chicago at 1550 South Hamlin Avenue. And it was there that we came with our staff and started what we call In the Slums. We had a button that is now a book entitled The Rise of the Phoenix Bird. And the whole idea was giving people help and giving them hope. I went to Europe and looked at industrialized housing systems, and we ended up with a brother named Ed Billingsley, who worked with Community Renewal Society, and he built on 53rd and Carter's Grove. It still stands there now, 221 D3 housing. We went during the Gene Sawyer days, we and Bill Henry on the west side. We went to Napanee, Indiana, and that's when they were manufacturing housing. And sometime, Brother Cochran, I'll take you over there and show you the house that we brought from Napanee, Indiana, because Gene Sawyer, former Mayor Gene Sawyer, had his building department people go to Napanee, Indiana. And I went and I met with them. And, you know, it was a strange experience for me. And I said to them, I'm not trying to marry your daughter. I love the fact that as craftsmen, you have the ability to produce these houses. And then there was another man named Bill Spathis that built a whole lot of housing on the west side of Chicago, but he built the first one across the street from my church. The difference is inside the factory, it was $30 a square foot. Stick built $50 a square foot.
Reverend Al Sampson, Dr. Al Sampson, and also Hermeen Hartman are on the line right now. What I need to do real quick is just I want to check the roads, and if we can take a quick break, so and we'll continue the conversation as we remember King's movement here in Chicago, but also talk about reflections on the day, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Dr. King in Memphis. We'll take a let's do this. We'll check in with Steve Resanders to see what's coming up in the 8 o'clock news, and then we'll get an update on the roads with Mary. We'll come back to the conversation, guys.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Steve Cochran Show here. Justin Kaufman in for Steve Cochran. On the line with me, Hermeen Hartman, who is, of course, the publisher and founder of Indigo Magazine. And Reverend Dr. Al Sampson, who's the pastor at Fernwood United Methodist Church in Chicago. Of course, today, the 50th anniversary of the death of Martin Luther King Jr., assassinated at a Memphis hotel on April 4th, 1968. We were talking about Chicago, and you know we're limited in time, but I wanted to ask you guys, of course, a lot of the aftermath is remembered by Chicagoans, what happened on the west side of Chicago, south side of Chicago, when it came to the riots that ensued after, and some of the things that were said by the mayor of Chicago, and just the way it kind of all played out. But when you think about what happened 50 years ago today and the weeks that will be coming up here, How do you see history viewing this? How when you think of the 50-year anniversary, does everyone have the same and the right recollections of what happened here in April of 1968?
No, King's death was devastating to America. Now we mourn, and there was violent breakouts all over the country, as you might remember. windows were broken, things were stole, urban America went up in flames. There has been no restoration in Chicago on the west side where that burning took place. Daley issued an order, shoot to kill, aim to maim, as the city really got out of control. National Guards had to be brought in. I think 6,000 National Guards were brought in to kind of calm the storm. But people were hurt. People were angry. Jesse Jackson said in an interview at that time, white America just lost their very best friend at the assassination of Dr. King. The Kerner Report was issued also 50 years ago, saying that there were two Americas, one black, one white, and talked about the racial divide. Some of those, has progress been made? Indeed, progress has been made. But the core of racism is still very existent. We see the president of the United States today just dividing this country so, and not uniting. Dr. King was a uniter. We see divide now. It's changed. We've had a black president. Dr. King's change was very specific. He knew what he wanted. Goals were set. Targets were established. And he went for it. When we say change, now every politician in America running now is talking about change, but we don't know what the change is, from what to what. So in retrospect, the dream has not been fulfilled.
Reverend Sampson, I'll give you the last word here as we wrap up our conversation. When you think about Chicago, but you also think about the aftermath 50 years ago, what has been King's legacy, and has it been fulfilled?
Well, I think his legacy has been a process. In his last words, he said, I might not get there, but we as a people, and I really believe all over the world, and especially the world in Chicago, Atlanta, we just saw the power historically of the right to vote and how we struggle in the midst of the oppressing of the vote. We've got a whole lot more congresspersons and state legislators and county folk than what we had before. We do a program called Soul Slate Political Action Committee, mm-hmm. where we print people's pictures and punch numbers, because a lot of people vote at the top of the ticket, but they don't know about the judges and the other officers at the bottom of the ticket. The genius of Dr. King is that he left us tools of what I call liberation. It is a challenge to the black church on what I call the economic blueprint of liberation, how we ought to look at the world economically.
Reverend Sampson, I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to wrap up here. But Reverend Dr. Al Sampson, the pastor at Fernwood United Methodist Church in Chicago, and Hermine Hartman, the publisher at Indigo Magazine, both joining us to talk about the anniversary of the death of Martin Luther King Jr. Hope to continue the conversation with both of you at a later time. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Stay strong.